I think every year we get some stuff that'll help us. And it's things that, you know, carry us through the year. Isn't that what we're looking for? Something to carry us through the year. And so I've been trying to figure out what would help you guys. So if it'll be okay with you, I'm not going to act doctoral. But I just like to be myself. And I think that's the way to be, isn't it, Brother Pilkington? Yeah.
Again, I was glad to see Brother Turner. I'm sorry, as you know, glad to see Brother Turner here tonight. He was my visitation teacher when I was in PBI, and somebody said it was you, Brother Walker. You said you was glad to see him here tonight. Was it you? And I am too, because I about killed him one time. I mean, literally, I about killed him. I was helping him do some welding, and he said, "Hey, brother," he said, "you get in the front of this stand and you pick it up and drop it back down, it'll square it." So I picked it up and I didn't realize he was standing there, and about knocked him out, man. I mean, just, I picked it up, did like this, and he went like that, and I thought, man, I about killed poor Brother Turner. They're going to ship me from school quick. All right, let's go to 1 Kings 12. And, you know, a few years ago, there's no need to stand up because I'm not there yet, so. A few years ago, there was a young man that had asked us a question, and he asked us something that was, you know, dear to his heart, and it was something that kind of struck me. I've thought about it over the years. I've tried to figure out, you know, how, if somebody else had asked me that question, how I would answer it. And I don't always know how to answer some of those things, but he had, it was heartfelt. You know, it's from him, and I don't want to go into the question, but what I got out of it was this. You know, whenever some of the younger people, they grow up, and it seems like there's an exodus. Now, I'm not saying that's the case with, you know, with every church. Certainly not here. You know, seems like the young folks here and at Dr. Walker's church, it seems like, you know, they're grounded. And I've interviewed several pastors trying to do some research for this paper, and that was one of the questions I asked them, you know, And I was curious, you know, because I saw the young people growing up and they'd leave. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I've never seen anybody walk out the back door. It looked better going than they were coming. And I never liked it. And it bothered me to see them go. And so over the years, I've kind of thought and wondered why that guy asked this particular question. And so I was wondering, why is it that the young people kind of want to get out? You know, when they turn 18 or 21, they become legal, and then they want to be illegal. And I don't understand that. I don't get it. You know, we're not Mormons, and we're not Amish, and we don't believe in that, you know, that little two-year sabbatical thing, you know. We don't believe in that. We believe in keeping them in. And so I wondered about that, you know, why it was that young people were leaving. And then I looked at the families, and I thought, you know, well, some of the families are really just not in. I mean, they're there. And so I thought, well, maybe the young people are getting that from the mom and the dad. Maybe they see the mom and dad leaving church, you know, and they're on the way home, you know. Boy, that was a good sermon, but. That was a good sermon, but it lasted 70 minutes. You know, that's what he told us today, sitting around talking to him. It said it lasted 70 minutes. I said, man, I'd have went another 20, 30. You know, I would have sat here for another time. You know, as far as I'm concerned, he can be both preachers. I listen to both of them at the same time. It don't bother me at all. I'm not going to leave here and criticize, but I'm thinking that maybe some people do. They may not even say the words, but the kids can see that. They see the reaction of the parents. They see the parents liking it or not like it, or whenever it comes time to church, you know, for church or getting ready to go to church. Oh, we got to do that again. Oh, we got to be there. Oh, really? Can we not just go to the beach? I mean, we live in Jacksonville. He will understand, you know, because he's a great pastor and he will understand. But I was wondering, you know, I was thinking maybe the kids, maybe they see that in the parents, you know. And so I thought, well, where are the parents getting it? I mean, they come to church, you know, and they see all these people come to church, sitting in church, you know, and they act like they're enjoying it, kind of, at least while the singing's going on. Let me reemphasize that part of it. while the singing's going on, man, they get excited, you know, it's just enjoyable and their hearts stirred, and then the long-winded preacher gets up and he says, open your Bible and in 2 hours I will be done. But the thing about it is, he ain't joking. I mean, 2 hours later and, you know, I'm sitting on pins and needles thinking, man, this is good. And Karen's right there with me. Man, this is, but everybody don't do that. You know, and I don't think we're going to get them all. I'm not a fool. I don't think we're going to get them all, but I wonder why the parents are that way. Now, in this church, I believe, and in Brother Knowles' church and Dr. Walker's church, and, you know, Brother Elliot, he's just excited and on fire. You can't get around the guy without getting excited about Jesus. I mean, if you wasn't excited before you talked to him, after you talked to him, you're going to think, man, I'm missing a little something because this guy is excited. I mean, when he starts to talk to you at lunch, and boy, Jesus has been good. I mean, he just, boy, I just love the Lord, you know. And so I was thinking about these guys that, well, in my mind, are successful. And when they step in the pulpit, they genuinely want to be in the pulpit. But I ain't real sure that all preachers... Now, you see, you're with me when I were talking about the parents and the kids. See, I sucked you in, drawed you in there, didn't I, brother? See, I'm from North Carolina. I can preach a little bit, too. And then, see, maybe the preachers don't want to be there. So maybe what's in the heart of the pulpit gets in the heart of the pew. Now, I've always been a believer in that, you know, maybe... The reason some churches are so successful is because the pastor really wants to be there. Maybe he wants to be there and he really wants to preach and he really wants to teach and he's excited to see whoever comes through the door, and he does not try to preach to the people that are not there, and he doesn't make the ones that are there feel guilty about the ones that didn't make it. And he does not concentrate on the people who are not there. He does his very best to help the ones that are there. Now, you and I would do a great service to our church if we acted like we enjoyed being there. I have the smallest congregation that I have ever, in my mind, pastored. I mean, at times we only have 6 people. Thank God it hadn't just been me and Karen and Knox yet. Thank the good Lord for that. But then sometimes we have 12. One time we had 19. Man, to me, I was busting at the seams, man. I was excited, you know. And I was glad to see them. But, you know, every time I go, Brother Dennis, I'm telling you, I'm excited about being there. I'm excited about driving that hour. It's the best hour I've ever driven. I have enjoyed being there and trying to help people. Now, you see, I'm excited about being there. So now the people that come, they genuinely seem to want to be there. I think there's a trickle-down effect that we don't recognize, and if you're not very careful, you can become very bitter at people because you expect way too much out of them, and you expect them to do what you do. And I've got news for you, pastors and preachers. The people that are sitting in the pews are never, ever going to do what you do. And you should have the correct expectation of those people and realize that they might just actually be doing the best that they can. If you're not careful, you can get kind of cynical. And I'm telling you, it's easy to do. You get depressed and you get bitter and you get cynical and you're thinking, where is so-and-so? So when you're preaching, you're thinking the whole time, where is so-and-so? Well, Brother Yoakum's here. Brother Yoakum, he would love to hear me preach without worrying about so-and-so. I mean, Brother Knowles is here, and he loves to hear me preach. He told me, you know, I was the best preacher in America, so I'm going with it, man. I know I've got one fan. I won't mention her name, but I know I got one fan. Thank you. I didn't have to mention her name then, did I? There you go. There you go. But, you know, I think we kind of get to the place to where that You know, as a pastor, you've got to learn to love the people where they are and not where you think that they should be. Church might be a little happier then. You know, these girls, boy, that Evans family and the folks from, I don't know if I should call it Joe Biano's quartet or what, but man, those folks are a blessing. Brother Evans, you got a great family, brother. And you know, every time I talk to the guy and he calls and talks to me about cutting trees and stuff like that, you know, and I'm just a little bit upset with him because he gave Brother Walker an axe with his name on it. I called and asked him how to sharpen a chainsaw. He made me a video, but I did not get the chainsaw. Now you say, what are you trying to do, Brother Mike? I am trying to put pressure on him to get me a steel chainsaw. I expect it soon, okay? With my name on the bar. Great families, but do you notice something? There's a trend there that they love the Lord Jesus Christ. They love to be around people that love Jesus Christ. They love to be around people that are around people that love the Lord Jesus Christ. And man, I'm telling you what, when you're around that bunch, it's a blessing. Now I'm going to kind of talk to you preachers tonight, if that's okay with you. And if it's not, it's all right with me because I've already got his permission and I've got his permission. So you just have to sit and endure it. Let's look in 1 Kings chapter 12 for just a minute. And this may be one of my favorite stories in the Bible. King Solomon, he's off the scene. His son Rehoboam has taken over the kingdom. Jeroboam, which is the most wicked king that Israel knew. As a matter of fact, whenever it compares a wicked king, it talks about the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. I mean, they compare his sins, how that he caused the people to worship false gods. So they're about to mess up real bad. In this chapter is when the kingdom gets divided between the 10 northern tribes and the 2 southern tribes. I'm trying to wax eloquent, Brother David, so you think I am smart. And it's those tribes, they split. And Rehoboam's got the 2 southern, Jeroboam's got the 10 northern. He sets up those false gods, those calves. And it's almost like, you know, over there in Exodus chapter 32, whenever Moses comes down off the mountain and Aaron's already told the people, he said, "These be thy gods, O Israel." And that's what Jeroboam did. He said, "I don't want them to go back down to Jerusalem, because if they go back down to Jerusalem, they'll stay there." And he said, "I want them up here so they can't go back." And it's just a little bit of a difference. It's just a little bit of a change. But I think, ladies and gentlemen, that we've got a mass exodus to the world and people are following the wrong leader. And you see, it's kind of similar to what some of the things that we're going through today is the kingdom is divided. I mean, our country is divided. The crowd is divided. The crown is divided. I mean, there's some, you know, divisions in the country. And so Rehoboam, I've got to kind of give it to him just a little bit. And that's all I'm giving it to him. I was reading Dr. Upman's note about Rehoboam, and he said this. He said, "Solomon was a wise king, but he raised a fool." Now, I've got to give it to Rehoboam this way, is the fact that he had the willingness to go and ask counsel of the old men. Now, I don't know about you, but to humble yourself and go to one that's older and wiser than you, And I realize that wisdom has died with you. I understand that. Thou art the man and wisdom has died with thee. I understand all that. But to humble yourself and do that, you're showing something. Now, if you're honest about it and you'll listen to the counsel that they give you, it might just help you out. You know, I mean, when I was young, I had zeal. Now I'm old. And I don't have no zeal. And I've learned a few things. I'm 57 years old. I've been trying to do this for 30. And over the years, I've learned a few things. I'm not certainly on that level, but honest to God, I've learned something. I mean, I've seen some people that I love go out, and every time they go out, they take a chunk of my heart with them. And it's hurt. And I've had to learn how to deal with that stuff and learn not to be cynical and hurt people. Now look, just because the country is in the shape it is in, is no reason that we have to go along with the country.
Amen.
I mean, preaching, you know, what comes out of the paper, who cares? I don't know who it was. I was reading somebody, and it might have been Adrian Rogers or somebody, or Tozer. I like Tozer. And I was reading, and they said, if you preach about current events, people will read the newspaper and watch the news. But they said, if you preach the Bible, well, duh, dummy, they'll read the Bible. Now, God didn't call me to preach current events. God called me to preach the Bible, the gospel. He called me to tell people about Jesus, not about all the other stuff that's going on. I'm with Brother Peacock, man. I don't like his preaching about the Constitution. I don't even understand why in the world the Constitution ever gets brought into the church. I mean, this is a Bible-believing church. You know what Lester Roloff said? He said, if you have a Bible church, then preach the Bible, because people are coming there to hear the Bible, not your opinion. Man, that struck home with me. I thought, well, is it not the simplicity of Jesus Christ that we are missing in our churches today, and people have gotten so unaccustomed to just some plain, simple, down-home preaching that they don't know what to expect whenever they come to church? Man, look, listen! I don't care how long the tribulation is. I don't care if it's 3.5 years. I don't care if it's 7. I don't care if it's 10. I don't care if somebody's found out it's going to be 15, 25, 100. You know why I don't care? Because I ain't going to be there. I am in Christ Jesus. I am not going to be in the tribulation. I'm not looking for the Antichrist. I'm looking for Jesus Christ. And where in the world did our churches get to where all they talked about was the devil? My goodness, man, we ought to be talking about our Savior. I mean, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Man, he pulled me out right now. I'm ready to go, man. He can take me today with Karen. She don't want to be here with me, and I don't want to be here without her. I mean, oh, wait. I done messed it up, man. Let's just let it go. Both of these leaders were really messed up. Now, before I get into this, could I just say this? That neither of them consulted God. And really, that should be the first place we all go. Not to each other. We should go to God first. But now I got to give to Rehoboam that he asked. Now let's look, if you would, let's look down at verse 6. And we'll start there. That was an introduction, if you didn't know what that was. Pretty good, wasn't it, Brother Dominguez? Yeah. Now look, I bragged on you. It's time for you to brag on me. Listen, that's called reciprocation. Yeah, you better new endo. Amen. We'll do some new endo after church. Amen. Look down there, verse 6. I'm just kidding. It's just picking on you, brother. I really appreciate you. I called Brother Dominguez. He was kind enough to me to let me interview him. Didn't know him just over the phone, you know. And he had kids running around the background, you know. And he kept apologizing to me. I thought, man, don't apologize. I appreciated the fact that he had kids running around and he wasn't saying, smack, get out of here. Man, I appreciated that. I don't know. I just like real people. I don't care for the fake ones. All right, let's look in verse 6. I want you to understand that, just maybe, every once in a while it'd do you good to listen to what the old men have. Turn to the old guard. and listen to what the old guard has. Some of the best lessons that I have ever learned. You know, I feel like I've had a great privilege in life, in my Christian walk, to have been able to be around Dr. Ruckman. Sit across the table from him, you know, and get to have a little fellowship with him. And it was hard fellowship at times, but it was good. I had the great privilege of being around Brother Lentz and Brother Peacock when they were younger, you know, and they really helped me, and I appreciated just getting to sit in the background and listen. And I'm afraid that, you know, when I was younger, I didn't have the common sense enough to keep my mouth shut like I should have. You know, the men that have great leadership abilities, I think some of that may be because they had somebody above them, like a dad, that showed them how to respond to certain things in life, and they knew how to react to stuff. And because of that, they have become great leaders. Look, he is not my boss, but he could fire me in an instant. But I respect him as my boss. I probably could go as far as to say, if he would let me, that I would take him as my pastor. Will you let me? Okay. It'd do us good to listen to the old guard. Look down there in verse 6. It says, and King Rehoboam consulted with the old men. Now let me qualify this, because this is 2020. You got to qualify everything. Just because man's old don't mean he's got wisdom. Great men are not always wise. You know, that's the Bible. If you hadn't read it yet, you will one day, if you keep reading. But just because a man is old, and you've got to have some discernment, just because a person is older doesn't mean that they've grown in the Lord any either. You know, just because a person is up around 70 doesn't mean that they could not be possibly a spiritual baby in the Lord. Maybe they just got saved a couple years ago. So here you are, you're going as a young man to get counsel from an old man that is a babe in Christ, and he's not going to know what to tell you. You see, now what I'm going to present to you, possibly, is you might want to find somebody that's got some experience. Might want to find somebody that maybe, possibly, knows what they're talking about. I mean, I'm never, and I don't mean this like I'm a dummy, but I'm never going to be on that level. That's not my gift. I don't have that. Now, I can hold my own, you know. I do okay. And I can kind of hold my own with preaching. I do okay with that. But as far as Bible knowledge, I'll never be there. Now, if you want to know doctrine, if you want to ask a question about the 3.5, the 7, the 10, the 15, the 25-year-old tribulation, ask him. He can tell you. And then he'll tell you in a kind way, but when you get off the phone with him, it's going to be like he just ripped me a new one, but he was nice about it. And I mean, really. I'm not that guy, but now, if you're hurting, I'm your man. If your heart's broke, got that one. I'll cut it out. You're killing me, man. You are killing me. If you are disgusted with the ministry, I'm your guy. Now, see, I'm not disgusted with ministry any longer, but I was for a while. And see, I don't mind to kind of put myself out there if it'll help you, but I don't want you to go take what I say and put it on YouTube and say, Brother Wheeler said. If I want something on YouTube, I'll put it on there myself. I do, by the way, have a YouTube channel. I had to get one for the COVID because I couldn't go to church, so we had YouTube. I want you to know I have followers. Now, Brother Dominguez, one of my questions to you was, do you have social media? I'm not sure if you lied to me, told me the truth. I don't know. I don't know. But I looked you up after I got done. You do have social media. Yes. I'm sorry, but you may need to counsel him, help him out a little bit. He needs a little help. But I got me a YouTube channel. I got me some followers, you know. I don't have nothing new up there because I ain't putting it. I have 22 followers. I mean, you know, hey, I thought at least maybe everybody in the church is following. And maybe somebody that feels sorry for me, you know, I don't know. I don't look on sermon audio and see how many hits I get on one. Matter of fact, somebody pointed out to me today that I don't like putting stuff on sermon audio, and they are absolutely correct. I do not. I cannot stand it. I don't like for nobody to listen to me. I mean, when we're done tonight, I hope this is not put on sermon audio, but I know it's going to be, so I can't stop it. But I don't like for somebody to come back and pick at me something that I believe the Lord has laid on my heart, and you try to draw something out of me and then criticize me because I didn't say something exactly like you thought I should have said it. You know, one of the great things that I have learned from Dr. David Peacock is that I should be complimentary and not critical. Do you know how many times that he has complimented me over the years? And I know I didn't deserve the compliment, but the man was trying to help me. Now, if he can compliment me, surely to goodness, I can compliment somebody else. You say, where are you going? I'm still on the introduction. I ain't even got to it yet. Look down at verse 6, he says, and King Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon, his father. You see, the old men came up with the wise man. Now look, I don't know about you, but the old men that came up with the wise man, I bet they heard something that helped. I bet they paid attention to what that old man had to say. Now, you see, some of you, you've had the rare privilege of coming up with some wise men. And it would do you well to pay attention to whenever somebody says something. It would do you well to listen to what they've got to say. Because I was being just a little bit facetious whenever I said that thou art the man and wisdom has died with thee. You are not. Amen. Let's look and see what the old men had. It says, and King Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon, his father, while he yet lived, and said, how do ye advise that I may answer this people? I think they had the right answer. Do you know what they had? They had something that Rehoboam did not have. Do you know what some of these older men have that you do not have as a young man? And Look, man, I appreciate young preachers. I appreciate Joe Baiano. I appreciate Brother Adam. You know, Brother Adam's been a blessing to me. Just, he's a kind, real kind young man. He's been a blessing to me. And you know what he is? He's respectful of me. You understand what I'm saying. I'm not trying to build me up, but he's respectful of me. And he talks to me in a manly fashion. He doesn't try to cut me down or catch me in my words or, you know, Brother Wheeler, you quoted something wrong. Man, I quote things wrong all the time. Do you not ever make mistakes? I mean, man, when we run our mouth, we put it out there and we make mistakes. I mean, you know. But boy, it sure is easy for a couch potato preacher to criticize everything we say. You know what the old men have? They got something you ain't got. You say, now look, I've got some knowledge. I know the Bible. Okay, I'll give you that, man. You know, honestly, I believe when I graduated Pensacola Bible Institute, I knew more Bible then than I do now. I probably, you know, I mean, as far as verse, you know, being able to quote versicle, man, we had to memorize them. And I believe then I could have quoted a few more verses. I could have gotten to a passage quicker. But you know what I did whenever I moved to Kansas? I worked a 40-hour week job because the church paid me $100 a week. Some of you wouldn't have went. Give me $100 a week, and at the end of the month, they gave me two. And they expected me to live off that. I had a lady in my church, Brother Dominguez, and she said, Brother Wheeler, no, she said, Preacher, I can't believe that a preacher can't make it on $200 a month. Now, she is about 85 or 6 or 7 years old, I don't know. And I mean, what are you going to say to her? I said, yeah, sister, I know it's highway robbery. It's just a highway robbery. But you know, she made it on $200 a month. That's all she had. So I had to learn a little bit of grace there. You know what the old men got? They got grace. You know what the young men got? They got zeal. You know, when grace and zeal meets, that's going to be a beautiful thing. But they ain't met yet. You know, the young men, they want to set the world on fire. Ain't you ever heard that? And it ain't too long before they're coming back looking for matches. Because it doesn't run out. Whenever we were in Kansas, I sat on a stack of tires at Blair Trailer. And I read my Bible every day, and those guys walked by me every day, and they made fun of me every day. Look at that fool reading his Bible. What are you doing? How come you don't eat? You too good to eat with us? One of them come by one day, and he said, Brother Jared, he said, why do you not eat with us? Why do you sit here and read your Bible? I didn't have an answer. I knew it was the right thing to do, but didn't have an answer. And I said, Lord, would you please give me an answer to this guy? So next time he walks by, I can tell him. Lord said, Deuteronomy 8:3. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God shall man live. Guy walked by next time and he said, how come you sitting there reading that Bible all the time? I quoted that verse to him. He said, okay, I'll give you that. I said, are you saved? He said, I sure am. I said, you go to church anywhere? Nope, ain't been for a long time. It gave me an opportunity to witness that guy. But you know what I was getting? I was in Bible school. I just wasn't in PBI. I would sit there on that stack of tires for 30 minutes every day. I read my Bible 10 chapters a day every day. Not in that 30 minutes, but that was part of my Bible reading. And you know all that noise and all them people talking, every once in a while it's like fiery darts coming out of heaven, you know, and God would say, look at that. Look at that. Look at that. Oh, that's good, ain't it, boy? Man, I've got marks in that little Bible at home, you know, and Joe, I guess you was talking about coffee stains and, you know, donut stains. I've got chocolate stains in my mouth. I like chocolate. Tear stains where I prayed and read and begged God to do something. You got them, don't you? You got them. See, tonight I brought my Bible. You see this right here? This is my Bible. Oh, I got something you ain't got, man. You say we got the same words. I realize that. We got the same book. I understand that. I got something you ain't got. I've got a God that spoke to me in certain places in that Bible that you ain't got. And you ain't going to get until you live for a while. You know what the old men have that you don't have? They don't have experiences, like somebody mentioned. They have experience. They understand what it is to be kicked in the teeth and get back up and keep on going. They understand, you know, I'm glad you said, oh my, where are you? Last night I was sitting here talking to him and he was sitting. And he had his back stretched out like this and, oh, I remember, man. I remember welding 12-hour days and sitting down and stretching your back out because you're hurting so bad you can't stand it and then have to go in there in the office and work for, you know, 4 or 5 hours or whatever, sometime till 1 or 2 in the morning at times. And I was watching Brother Larry and I asked him, I said, man, I said, do your wrists ever hurt right here? Young men don't know that. I said, how old are you, brother? He told me, I'm not going to tell you. He can tell you if he wants to, but I'm not going to tell you. I said, do your wrists ever hurt right there? He said, all the time. I said, mine hurt right here and they hurt right here. I said, your hands ever go numb? Yep, hands go numb. I can be driving down the road and all of a sudden my hand, it's some of the most painful thing you can ever endure is your hand going numb. Because it sounds like it wouldn't hurt, but it hurts. You know. Look, he's old. He's got experience. Well, boy, that was rough. I apologize for that. I'm so sorry. Just because you're bald-headed don't mean you're old. I didn't mean it that way. I apologize for that. Please forgive me for that. I'm so sorry. But can I say he's elderly? No, that's too far either. Let's say that he's not young anymore. Okay, how's that? Is that better? But you know what? He understands aches and pains. I bet he's got some spots in his book. I bet he's been reading through Psalm chapter 61 before and the Lord said, I'm the rock. Oh man, I'm telling you. There's places in that Bible, man, you can't take from me. There's places in that Bible that only mean something to me that you're never going to get. when I get done with this thing, I want somebody to at least say that he fought a good fight. When I'm old and I can't walk up to the pulpit, I want somebody to say, well, there's somebody that went through it and he's still here. When I'm gone and Karen's here by herself, oh yeah, don't even. Because I told her I'm going for her. My health is much worse than hers. When I'm gone and she's left, I want her to be here in church, loving Jesus, worshiping Jesus. You say, that's hard. Oh, it is hard. But boy, when we get to see Him. You know, the older I get, the sweeter heaven becomes. The older I get, the more I long for heaven. I mean, I don't want to go out prematurely, of course. I don't want to die in a flaming car crash on the way home. Nothing like that. But boy, wouldn't it be good if the Lord just... You know, they've had enough, Father. It's been long enough. They're ready. Let's bring them home. And he stands up. He stretches out. Oh, I sit for a long time. I've been waiting for a long time. And boy, with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with a trump of God, I'm telling you, we're going to hear our name, and up we're going to go. Yeah, you can shout about that when you're 20, but you'll realize it when you're 50. You can shout about it when you're young, but you're going to long for it when you're 70. I'm looking for Him. In my opinion, snowflakes are soft and they melt quick. Put the heat on, they're gone. Can't take the heat, man. Let me tell you something I've noticed about young men is this right here. Instead of having the common sense, and I'm not picking on you if you're young, but man, learn from my mistakes if nothing else. Young men, they just won't go to the older men. They go to the men around them. Now, I can go to my contemporaries and I can ask them what they think I should do or how I ought to act or what I ought to preach or tell them a situation in my church, how that Sister Bonnie got mad at me and she walked out and she said, now, Brother Wheeler, preacher. And you tell them that and they kind of get mad with you. You know, they say, well, if I was you... That's all I need. I'm stirred. If I was you, oh yeah, we're done, buddy. You come church Sunday, you are the message. I mean, you made the glaring mistake of coming to my church again. Oh yeah, you're the message. But now see, an older, wiser man. But you don't have to humble yourself to go to your contemporaries. Because they like to ag it on. You know, most fights I've ever got in my life, and I'm not a great fighter, but if I get you down, I will hurt you. And my goal is to tackle you, get you on the ground, and I am going to beat the soup out of you. But you know that most fights I've ever got in my life is because somebody else was agging me on to do it? Do you know that most fights I've got into in the ministry is because one of my contemporaries was agging me. Oh, did I hit home there? I didn't like him either. Oh, he's loud, he's mean, he's ugly. And just because he's got a DR on his name, he thinks he's something. I don't think I'm something, but I think my Savior is. Amen. Old men got something else that the young men don't. Am I doing any good, Brother David? Is this okay? All right. Dr. Peacock, we're hitting home? Okay. Old men got something else that young men don't have. They got some patience. You know, it's easy to have guts. But it takes more guts to have grace than it does to pick a fight. Now, I'm a William Wallace fan. Oh, don't act like you ain't watched it. You watched it too. Now, maybe Brother Peacock hasn't watched it, you know, but and maybe Brother Walker hasn't, but... In my opinion, that's recommended watching. you know, every once in a while. I quit laughing. Every once in a while, I think every once in a while, you ought to read J. Frank Norris's book by Louis Ensminger. Oh, yeah. First time I read that, I wanted to go burn down Southern Baptist churches. Oh, man, hey. I told Brother Walker, I said, man, you don't even have to provoke me, brother. We're gone. Call me up, say, Brother Mike, get the torch. We're gone, man. We're done. Now, you see, I don't need stuff like that. And I don't need for somebody to provoke me to get into a fight. I don't need somebody to push me into picking on somebody. I need to have somebody to encourage me to have a little grace. To have a little grace. You want me to tell you what grace is? Grace is the ability to keep your mouth shut when you know you're right. I'm a Bible believer. I'm not a very good practicer, but I am a believer of it. I'm a Bible believer, and I believe that Bible outranks all of us. I've kind of run this by, you know, the two geniuses. That's what I, you know, affectionately nickname you. This is the All-American, by the way. Nothing he couldn't do, you know. I mean, he'd be one of those, you know, if they threw the football to him, you know, he'd be gracefully just one-handed, walk across the goal line, spike it and say, yeah, baby, I did it. This right here is most likely to succeed in anything. You know, I was kind of curious where I fit in. They had my picture in the school annual, you know. Dunce. Hey, man, every Bible Institute needs one. I'll happily wear that one, no problem. Look, man, these guys right here, they've got wisdom and patience beyond their years. And, you know, Brother Dr. Walker is an old soul. He's got maturity beyond his years. He may be 47 years old, but, man, he's got a 70-year-old experience. Do well to listen to that fella. You got any patience? I don't know how you could have at 20. Not saying you don't, but if tribulation worketh patience, one experience does not give you patience. But it's that continual wearing and snipping at you and beating up on you and kicking you and still loving the people. Nobody is going to care what you have to say until they see that you care about them. Let's look in verse 7. What the old men said. First of all, just a simple outline. Nothing nearly as complicated as Brother Adrian Dominguez. Man, I'm not on that level. Simple outline. I like you, man. That's good stuff. I am impressed that a Puerto Rican can preach. Now, you have done something for me, man. Hairdo and all. Love it. Look at verse 7. It says, and they spake unto him, saying... I'm sorry. I apologize. You know, if I could do that, I would, but I can't. Can you imagine looking at me with that? I started to get up here and do this. You know, like a woman does whenever she cries, she goes, you know, like that. Boy, I was afraid you'd think I'd crossed over then. I thought, no, we can't do that. Not in this group. Look at verse 7. It says, and they spake unto him, saying, if thou wilt be, you see that? If thou wilt. You willing? Yeah, brother, I'm willing. I will go. But will you sit down and shut up? We're all willing to go and be great for the Lord. But are you willing to sit down and be less for the Lord? Are you willing to love Him even if you don't get the promotion? Even if you're not called to be that or that
Are you still willing to love Him? You know, really all that's going to matter is what we do for the Lord Jesus Christ, not for ourselves, but what we do for the Lord Jesus Christ whenever we stand at the judgment seat of Christ. And I'm telling you, that book still says, and it has not changed, that we must all give an account. And we are all going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And we will receive the things that are done in this life according to the things that we've done for the Lord. And I believe that you and I are going to give an account of what we do. And we better have the right motive when we do it. If thou wilt, can you serve? I read my little paper is on church leadership. I just passed by, prayed about it, Lord, give me some stuff, you know. And I'm not an author. That's not me. And I was praying, Lord, give me something so I can impress Brother Peacock so he give me this thing, man. I gotta have it. Not really. I read a little saying on a computer of one of the grand leaders at where I work. And it said this. It said, if serving is beneath you, then leading is beyond you. If we cannot serve, then we cannot lead. You know what? A leader is a leader because they know why. A boss is a boss because they know how. Anybody can be a boss. It takes men with vision to be leaders. Is that helping you? Learn to serve, learn to speak. But when you speak, have some grace. I'm pretty sure that's still in the book of Colossians, isn't it, Brother David? I believe that our speech is to be seasoned with salt. We're supposed to have a little bit of grace. We're supposed to know how to answer all men, right? We like to talk to people that love to hear what we have to say. We love to preach in the crowd that agrees with us. But you know, there's other people out there that need help. I've had a Methodist come to my church twice. Now, years ago, I might have said, oh, by God, we ain't Methodist. We are Baptist. And all that that implies. He came in there. You know what? I was kind of going over the covenants. You know, I'm already teaching covenants, you know, to our little group, you know. Why not, man? Why not let them see that salvation in the New Testament is different than the Old Testament? Why not let them see that? Why have them confused? So he was there that night, and I said, all right, I said, let's go over the covenants, you know, real quick. I said, anybody remember what the first one is? This guy pops up, and he says, Theodenic. I said, you ain't been here. I ain't taught you nothing. Where'd you get that? I said, what's the second one? He said, Adamic. Brother David said, he must have had a Scofield Bible. Probably. Methodist. This may just knock your socks off, but brethren, there's some people that are saved that don't go to our churches because they ain't getting fed. But they're going to some of them other churches because they are, oh, Baptist curse word, they are loved.
Good preaching. Amen.
Now we don't like to use the L word. Because it shows our vulnerability. And if we say we love somebody, then we're vulnerable. We're vulnerable to their criticisms. And we don't like that. It makes us weak. I don't think it makes us weak. I think it makes us strong in the Lord. You're never going to help people until you learn to love people. You know where I learned that from? I learned that from the heavy bishop. No disrespect. Okay, I'm glad you did. I love that name too. You know what? He would come up to me and say, "Brother, I love you." Look, man, I don't love easy. That's a hard word for me. That's almost a dirty word for me.
Somebody come up to me and hug my neck. And, you know, Brother Josh, he's been real gracious to me over the years, but I probably hurt his feelings one time, and I didn't mean to, but I'm not used to people being affectionate with me. I got a bubble. Stay out of it. We all know that about me. Let's just let it go at that. Brother Josh come up to me one night, and he, you know, it's been a few years ago. It's probably been 5 or 6 years ago, and he grabbed me from behind, which is number one wrong to do. Don't do that. He grabs me from behind, and he gives me a hug, and he kisses me on my neck. And then on top of that, he said the L word. He said, "I love you, brother." I was like, "Okay, yeah, okay." let me get the cooties off now. You know, I got a man hugging my neck, telling me he loves me, kissed me on the neck. Karen's over there going, he just loves you, Mike. He just loves you. He really loves you." And I said, "Karen, I don't understand that, man. I don't get it." Now, boy, over the years, we've got a good relationship now. And honestly, I can say I love Brother Josh. Don't feel like a homo or nothing like that. No. He ain't, I ain't. Let's go ahead and get that out of the way. He ain't, I ain't, but I love him. Yeah. You know who I admire in your church? T.K. Waters. Yeah. I have loved him. I was afraid to tell you that. Well, I mean, my word, man, look at you. Who wouldn't be afraid to tell you that? "Oh, you ain't going to love me?" "No, sir, buddy, I ain't going to do the loving stuff." But I have loved him ever since the first time I saw the man. Just a gentle soul. And you know what I love about him? He loves him. You know, used to, I'm not a very trusting person, so used to when somebody tell me they love me, I didn't believe it. When Karen told me she loved me, I believed her most of the time. Except on days we'd been, you know, heavily discussing. That is doctoral, isn't it? That is. You know what that is? That is learning grace from my mentor is what that's learning. I've got to ride home with that woman tomorrow. 6 hours in the car, and I am not going to doom that trip. It's hard for us to love one another, isn't it? You know, the example that the Lord left us over in, if I can, you know, kind of take a little liberty here, in John chapter 13, I don't believe that he was teaching his tribulation. Perhaps, maybe, he was teaching us about humility and loving each other. Now, if he can do that, oh, surely to goodness we can. I bet some of you, the reason you've got some good people in your church is because you love them. My brother's been coming to my church. My brother has been coming to church, man. You just don't know. He's been coming to church. He's been sitting there. He wrote me a message today, and he said, "I am so proud of you." He said, "I'm proud of you, and I am so excited that I get to sit in our little church and learn the Bible from my brother." Amen. You know what else he said, Brother Pilkington? He said, "I love you." He's a freak about that stuff. Every time the man talks to me, I mean, I can hang up from him. He calls me right back. He says, "I love you." I said, "You told me a minute ago. We got that covered." I know he's listening. He's I guarantee he's like, yeah, I do love you. That's my brother. But you know, I finally realized, you know, he's a fireman. He's been a fireman about 27 years. Do you know why I think that he tells me he loves me? Because he ain't real sure he's going to see me the next time. I didn't understand that. You know why some of us tell each other that we love each other? Is because we ain't real sure we're going to see you the next time. And, brethren, it don't hurt to love one another. How's that, Brother Knowles? We on point? Look down at verse 8. What did the old men do? That's a sad verse, isn't it? It happens all the time. Some of you done turned me off. You got it all figured out, man. You don't need me. You don't need what I got. You got it all figured out. You know more than me. You got every verse memorized. You can quote most of the New Testament. Notice what they did in verse 8. Such a sad story. It says, and they spake unto him, saying, if thou... I'm sorry, verse 8. But he forsook the counsel of the old men, which they had given, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him, and which stood before him. And he said unto them, what counsel give ye? Well, I'm going to tell you what you want to hear, man. What did the old men do? Nothing. They didn't do a thing. It's a take it or leave it kind of proposition. If you want some wisdom, they're there for you. But if they tell you what you don't want to hear and you reject it, don't go back and ask them nothing else. Because they done with you. They ain't going to tell you nothing else. If you are sincere and you want to find out something, find you an old man. No, wait. Let me qualify. Find you an old man that's been through it.
Yeah.
Preacher, pew sitter, somebody's been through it. Say, brother, what do you think I ought to do? You know what one of the things I respected about Brother Lentz was this, is that he was not afraid to go to his deacon, Brother Beaver. Brother Beaver, you know, Brother Lentz was a pastor. Brother Beaver was the deacon. And he'd go to Brother Beaver and he'd ask him, say, brother, what do you think I ought to do?
Yes.
Now, you see, if I'd have had some sense, I'd have paid attention to that. Now I'm getting it. I'm 57 years old. Been saved a long time. Been trying to do this thing called the ministry for a long time. Now I'm beginning some of that stuff sinking in. Took a long time to sink in. If I could plead with you, please don't make the same mistakes that I did. Only a fool will not listen to something that the old men said if it's good. And I'm afraid that's what Solomon raised, was a fool. You say, well, I'm a fool for Christ's sake. Well, bless your little heart. How about having some common sense and listening to some good wisdom? These men might just have something for you if you could just put your pride down and listen. I started out by saying this, that the problem with the whole story is that nobody is going to the Lord. Nobody is consulting God. I'm pretty sure that might be where we are today. There ain't nobody getting on their knees and begging the Lord to do anything. Got just a couple things, illustration, I'm done. I remember sitting right back there. You see the fellow in the red striped shirt? I don't mean to pick on you, but that's where I was sitting. And I was getting preached to. First time I ever came down here, 20 years ago. Sitting there as a young man, trying to get something. Listening. After it was over with, I wanted some of that. Now, I got me a spot. I got me a spot in this church. You know, this is not our church for the most part. You know, we're visiting and this is not our church, but got me a spot in this church. Can I show it to you? I came down that aisle right there. Got down on my hands and knees right here, right in front of that speaker. Any of you got a spot right there? Or do you have a spot, period?
Yeah, it was good.
Me and Karen went up to see the leaves the other day up in the mountains of North Carolina. You know, I know it's a little carnal. I apologize. We was driving. Oh, they was pretty. Thank you very much. You know, I had a brother tell me the other day. He said, brother, I'm taking my son fishing. I said, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What a blessing for a dad to take his son fishing. You know what some of you do? I got to hit the book some more. We was coming back. I'll get back to my story in a minute. It takes me a second, okay? It's coming back from Kansas. working 12 hours a day, 5 hours on Saturday. Most of the time I was putting in 55 to 60 hours a week welding just so we could make enough money to eat. I like to eat, so I had to work a little bit, you know. That's a biblical concept if you don't know it. I was driving home in the U-Haul truck. Jordan was sitting beside him, and she said, "Dad," she said, "does this mean you're going to spend Saturdays with me again?" Whew, you talking about ripping your heart out? I said, "Yeah, baby, I'm going to spend some Saturdays with you." And I did. Glad I did now. We was driving up the mountains. We're coming back, you know. It was coming through Spruce Pine. I don't know if you ever been up Spruce Pine, North Carolina. Just coming back down through the... Karen wanted to go to the viaduct. We just couldn't make it over that far day because there's so much traffic, you know. So we were coming back down through there, and we went off the mountain at Spruce Pine. Now, my wife, she worked up there for about 3 months in Spruce Pine. She drove back and forth from Morganton because, you know why? We needed the money. So she worked. She's always been willing to help. What a good helper. What a blessing that woman is to me. You know what I do? I try to help her with laundry and dishes, and, you know. Didn't used to do that. Humbled myself a little bit. She's helped me, man. Brought a little money to the house. Surely I can wash a dish or two. Surely I can wash the clothes or two. I'm the one that dirties most of them. Surely I can wash a few of them. We was coming back down the mountain, you know, and we was driving around them curves, real steep curves on that road, you know. As a matter of fact, we was having to go like 35. Don't get above 35. Real steep roads, you know. It was one pull off, and we got real close to that pull off, and she looked at me and she said, "I see her right there." She said, "Me and God did a lot of talking on this road." She said, That's it. Right there. God began to heal me. Boy, brother, I'm telling you what. I wanted to cry so bad and shout and jump out of the car. I was going down a steep hill. Couldn't do that, you know. You just don't know what that did for me. And I was thinking, you know, man, we're so falutin' in our doctrine. Listen, we're at Bible Doctrine Institute. We love it. But when's the last time something affected your heart? And you came crawling to an altar. And you found you a spot. And you said, "Lord, I've been a fool. God, help me." Every one of you need a spot. The only way we're going to make it through all this stuff that you guys are talking about is if you get alone with God, you spend some time with God, find you a place, and make that a marker in your Christian walk. And see what that great God of ours might do for you. Let's all stand for a word of prayer. Brother Peacock, you come close the way you want to.